Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
In Mark 15 chapter, we read these words in verse 1. And straightway in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Here we read one of the cruelest deeds in the history of the world. Men whose hearts were filled with hatred and envy took Jesus, the spotless, sinless Son of God, literally bound him, making ready for the crucifixion. As we look back to that scene, our hearts are filled with sadness, even a touch of righteous indignation for that motley crowd that bound Christ Jesus, delivered him over to Pilate. And yet, what we see is one of the darkest, cruelest days in history, from the mind of God, was one of the brightest, because Jesus had come to this world to seek and save that which was lost. And now he's about to give his life a ransom for many. And as we read this verse, Mark 15, verse 1, about binding Christ, there are few, if any, of us that in some way have not bound the hands of Jesus. Yes, we're responsible for hindering the Lord and his influence in some measure. And thereby Christ is being bound again today. Even those who claim to be lovers of the Lord and those who love his church can be guilty of figuratively binding the hands of Christ. And so in the time this afternoon, we want to notice some ways that people bind the hands of Christ. The first way in which we hinder the Lord is through ignorance of his word. The Bible is divinely inspired. It's been preserved for all to read. We learn in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly, or truly furnished unto every good work. Yet men ignore the sacred teachings of God's Word. Here's a book that's capable of making us complete, making us perfect, making us entire. Still, man passes it by. Bible is indeed a golden storehouse of precious gems, and yet it's undoubtedly the most neglected book in the world. And many years it's been reported that it's still the bestseller in America. And yet, spiritual ignorance runs rampant. We need to return to those days when we gathered around the fireplace and we read and studied from God's Word. Because there was a time in Old Testament history when God said through his prophet Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Through a lack of knowledge, people can be destroyed. Just as ignorance is no excuse when it comes to the laws of the land, ignorance is no excuse in the sight of God. Another way in which we figuratively bind Christ today is by our negligence. After we can no longer hide behind the shield of ignorance, after we know God's will and then fail to do it, we're binding the hands of Jesus. Suppose that tomorrow, as you were driving through town, a policeman would stop you and inform you of a traffic law that you had just disobeyed. Perhaps a stop sign had been put up at a place where there had not been one before. And you beg off, saying that you simply didn't see it. You'd driven that street many years, and there had never been a stop sign. And so you plead for mercy, and the policeman says, "Well, I'm going to write you a warning this time and let you go." But so, suppose tomorrow you go through that same intersection. The stop sign is there, but you go just whizzing on through just like you've always done. And that same policeman pulls you over the second day. Wonder how lenient he would be on that occasion. Your negligent attitude would get you in trouble. And the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. When we know to do good and are negligent toward our duty, God, the great patrolman, is displeased. In James 4, verse 17, we have this truth. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, it's true that we as members of the body of Christ pass up many opportunities to do good and openly neglect some things which we know we should do. In Matthew 25, we have the interesting parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The great curse upon the foolish ones was their negligence. They had neglected the necessary preparation to be ready when the bridegroom came. And on the day when he came, they, not having any oil in their lamps, went out to buy the oil. The bridegroom came during the time that they were away. Well, today in the church, there are many negligent and erring people. Oftentimes, our lethargy and our complacency can be the very stumbling block over which our friends fall on the way to eternal ruin. We need to not bind the hands of Jesus by our negligence in failing to do things that we know that we ought to do. Now, a third way that we can today, in a figurative way, bind the hands of Christ is by compromise. As we read God's Word, we notice example after example of the downfall of God's people through their compromising attitude. God demands that we take a stand, either for Him or against Him. We need to hear the challenge that Joshua put forth to the people of Israel. He said in Joshua 24, verse 15, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah." That choice is still before men today. Are we going to serve self? Are we going to serve others in the family? We're going to serve idols, or are we going to serve Jehovah? In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, we find another challenge put forth, this time by Elijah, the prophet of God. He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And sadly, too many people today, religiously speaking, are halting between two opinions. They remain undecided to make no choice at all, and in not making a choice, they've already made one. And Christ said plainly that no man can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, Matthew 6:24. And it's the height of inconsistency to try to have one foot in the world and the other foot in the Lord's church. The sin of compromise is a prevalent way in which we bind the hands of Christ. Also, in the realm of Christian living, too many of us are letting the Lord down by our loose, compromising way of life. A disciple of Christ is supposed to be a new creature, a man after God's own possession. But too often, we forget our allegiance to the Lord, and we return to our wallowing in the mire, as spoken in 2 Peter 2:22. As Christians, we are supposed to seek those things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. Colossians 3, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God." And in Romans 12, we're not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed. We're to depart from iniquity. We're to abstain from the very appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. We're not to look back to that life of sin, but to look forward to that beautiful home of the soul. And indeed, as Paul states in Romans 12:9, we are to abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. There is no compatibility between the world and a child of God. So one way that we can bind the hands of Christ is through compromise. Another way that we can bind Christ, in addition to our ignorance and negligence and compromise, is our failure to spread the gospel. Before the Lord ascended back to heaven, He gave us this charge. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Now this gospel was the good news of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, because Paul said that's what he had preached in preaching the gospel to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. The disciples of Christ in the first century took this message of salvation. They took it seriously and they took it to the whole creation. So that Paul could say to the brethren from Ephesus, I am pure from the blood of all men, Acts 20:26. He said in Colossians 1:23 that the gospel had gone into all the world. And yet today, with all of our modern methods of travel, with our financial strength, with all the technology for getting the gospel, we have scarcely touched the hem of the garment of getting the gospel to every creature. There are many countries that have yet to hear the pure gospel of Christ. And even in this land, there are many sections where people are starving for the pure, unadulterated message of Jesus Christ. Can we sit idly by and permit millions of people to live and die without the privilege of hearing the truth preached? It's our task, it's our joyous privilege to spread the gospel of Christ throughout the world. I read that Sir Cecil Rhodes, one of England's greatest explorers, was sent to Africa many years ago to look over the land and see if it would be worthwhile for Great Britain to obtain that land. And when he returned to England, he was speaking before great dignitaries of his homeland. He pointed to a huge map of Africa and stated, "All this for England, that's my dream." Today, for servants of the Lord, there should be a pointing to the globe and saying, "All this for Christ, that's our dream, getting the gospel to every creature." May we ever realize and heed the call that comes ringing over the restless waves to send the light and to bring the light and to carry the light to every lost soul on earth. My friend, you can bind the hands of Christ. He shed His blood that you might know the truth and be made free from sin. But if you reject His will, if you ignore His message of mercy, you're binding the hands of Christ. One of the saddest statements in the Bible was made about His own people. John said, Jesus came unto His own, and those who were His own received Him not. John 1:11. All Jesus can do is offer forgiveness to a burdened soul. But the one who refuses to obey, the Lord is not going to force obedience. He has made a redemption possible through His blood. He asks us to accept it. The acts of acceptance are plainly stated in the New Testament. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. He said also, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. The Lord directed His apostles to tell sinners that they must repent and be baptized into the remission of their sins. Acts 2:38. Christ becomes the author of the eternal salvation unto all those who obey Him, Hebrews 5:9. To accept the Lord's offer of redemption, we must believe in Him, repent of our wickedness, be buried with Him in baptism for remission of sins, and faithfully serve Him all the days of our life. Jesus offers you forgiveness. But when you reject it, you bind the hands of Christ in refusing His offer. Don't bind the hands of Christ any longer.